the thought that he needs to put in your mindset so you can absorb all that he has for us today. So the story is Jacob, and he's in the in a secluded area in Peniel, it's called. He's running. You're not running. The key was that he wrestled with God. I don't know if you know the story. It's a great story. And he would not let go until, and says, just for a minute, yeah, have a seat. And he asked God to bless him. I won't let go until you bless me. And I'm here to let you know that you've been, I don't know all that's going on. I don't have a camera crew following you, but you've been wrestling with some things. But what had to happen is God had to touch Jacob's hip, not to handicap him, but to really get his attention. So what God is doing for you in this time, and I believe it's not the injury, but God is led me to tell you, he's just going to get your attention. And sometimes he does it. And listen, I'm not going to freak you all out. He's going to break your arm and poke your eye or whatever. But he immediately told me that to tell you that you've been asking God. Don't let go of that. And Jacob's name went from Jacob, his name, crazy guy, to Israel, who is the prince of the people of God. That's what Israel means. And then God's about ready to bless you. Hang on to that, because he's going to bless you, okay? And where's she at? Oh, stand up for a minute. God wants to tell you you're his daughter. That when you feel that no one notices you, there's not attention on you, you got his attention, okay? The thing that God has allowed me to say to many sisters, daughters, is you're right in the middle of his hand. Okay, you're an apple of his eye. He you're his daughter, and when times you're on the edge, or wherever you are, he'll always move you to him, because you're special to him. When people make you feel that, you open yourself up because you feel you're being accepted. Listen, God has your attention. And you're very special to him, okay? When I was just sitting here, God's telling me, and I go, God, can I wait till the end of the service? And then you got up and left. And I go, okay, that's a sign. No, you're his daughter. He sees you when you don't think no one else sees you. You have wonderful people around you, parents, family, whatever. But when you feel that, where you think you're all alone, you're not, okay? One thing that we learn when we become Christians is we don't really feel sometimes that God's not there, but can I tell you that God's always there? And when you feel that, you just talk to him, okay? And I just want to pray for you. Well, let me pray for you. Stretch your hand, church. Father, we pray for God, your daughter, this morning. God, I pray, breathe on her right now, God. Speak to her heart, God. Give her, God, the glory and the grace in her life, and have her to understand, God, that you're there always, and I pray you bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Not that you're going to go do cartwheels and get all crazy and everything, but you needed to hear that this morning, okay? You can go back to, I guess, your son's, I don't know where she's at, amen. But I had to do that, amen. But in this scripture, let's read it together. I'm preaching a sermon that's entitled Where the Eagles Fly. I have my grandsons and my son in Fort Collins, Colorado. For now, I'm actually going to my son's church till we make the transition. But, you know, I have four children and three daughters and my son, and he gave me my grandsons. But we're up there in the high country. We're way up there in Wyoming. If you're familiar with Wyoming, it's cold up there. I know it's cold here, but that wind, man, if you want to fly a kite, go up there, amen. The wind's always blowing, and we see a lot of wildlife. We see a lot of eagles, and I've always and have been just blown away. I'm not a bird watcher, okay, but when I see an eagle, it gets my attention. And there's something about that bird, man. He's flying high above everything. And in this scripture, we'll read a few verses there where God begins to give us that attention, that where where God wants you to be high above, you know, in your life, and like you're soaring. And when you watch an eagle fly, it's amazing. It's an amazing animal, creature, whatever you want to call it. But he is not up there flapping his wings trying to stay. He's just gliding most of the time. What I witness is they're flying, and because I, you know, especially the bald eagle, they have the, you know, they got like a white head like me, but I ain't bald, amen. But it's such a large animal. Its wingspan's amazing. I'm not here to give you an education on the eagle, but when that dude swoops down, and when we go fishing, and we watch this bird come in, and with one claw, he just grabs a fish, the fish I was supposed to catch, and he takes it for lunch. There's another couple of birds that we see. One of them is a golden eagle. That's the same thing, but it's golden. It's amazing bird. But why I'm mentioning that is because this is what God begins to mention in the scripture we're about to read. Because we traffic down here in the valley, and we're in the midst of everything that goes on. Because this world, listen, it's crazy here. You're in crazy land. Colorado, smoking weed, driving crazy. Need to arrest all of them. I don't know. Amen. Send them to the army, Pastor. I don't know. Do something. But you know what they need is they need to get saved. So we see that and it affects us. Whether it's the news or we see it, it's right in your face. The devil wants to always do that. Throw it in your face. But here the scripture begins to tell us, and I recently have just used this. I've had to bury another nephew. It's been a hard year. I buried three nephews this year. And all three of them were in their 30s, one 31. That ain't fair. They're just young, man. 30 years old, starting their life. But because of choices or however, amen, I've had to preach. I have 15 in my family. I grew up in a large family. I have 11 sisters. That's a lot of women in the house, amen. Back in the, you know, early, late 60s, they used to use that hairspray. Some of you still do. You can tell I don't. That's why I got the peacock going on here and that. I'm just like, just generation. Don't comb your hair. Just show up. Amen. But they used to do the craziest hairdo, the great wall of China, I guess I called it, bigger. The bangs had to be sticking up. Some of you laughing because you do that. The beehive. Remember the beehive? Yeah, it's like they ruined the ozone layer because of Aquanet or whatever it was. But I grew up with sisters. I've had to bury four of them because of cancer or whatever. But my grandsons, my goodness. So I've had to do four funerals that really got my attention, not just for my family. They call me the pastor of the family, but I do all the funerals, and it's hard. One of the hardest things when you bury family is just part of life. But when they're young, man. And so this scripture I've used a few times, so I want you to read it with me. These first six verses kind of sets up what I'm preaching about, where the eagles fly. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. And the Bible says in verse 1, this is Isaiah 40, comfort, yes, comfort my people. This is God speaking. Prophet's writing says, your God, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. That's a nation of Jerusalem here. And that her warfare is ended. There's a battle going on here. It's ended. He says, speak this. It's ended. The iniquity is pardoned. Iniquity is sin or shortcomings. And the iniquity is pardoned or forgiven. For she has received from the Lord's hand, listen, double for all her sins. So not only has there been forgiveness, but he's laying down the double deal, double of this blessing, of this forgiveness. And then we capture some of this next two scriptures when John the Baptist was announcing Jesus coming and the Gospels. And he says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. How many know that Jesus is Lord? Oh, someone help me this morning. I'm going to preach, amen. Make straight the desert. Listen to this. A highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain hill brought low. Listen, the crooked place shall be made straight. How many know we see a lot of things going the wrong way, crooked places and crooks and whatever, and the rough place smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. We're going to see this, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out, And he said, what shall I cry? He says, all flesh and all of its loveliness is like a flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely this or the people are like grass. So I'll give you read the rest of these verses. It's amazing what he's speaking about, of how in these words he's talking about amazing things, that he's going to bring restoration. Remember what he said, that iniquity, that forgiveness, he's going to bless you double. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed double. I heard what the preacher was saying this morning. When he started throwing out their numbers, like, yeah, I would have took that deal. Well, maybe. But thank God you are here this morning, and that's why I say you crazy. You're here with me. We're here to preach, but you know that tells me something. We're going to go down to verse 28. I want you to get there. Same chapter, verse 28. And I've said this. I've had a habit of saying this, especially now that evangelizing, not just to give words. I'm not that guy that has a story or a story. I just want to preach the word of God. But what's amazing that you already made a decision to be here. You took the first step, right? Come on. Maybe you rolled out of bed. Maybe your wife yelling at you, come on, let's go to church. Oh, I'm tired. Yeah, well, everybody's tired. I don't want to go again. Doesn't the pastor know it's cold? Yes, he does. Well, do I have to? We need to. Well, why do I have to go? His wife says, because you're the pastor. Get up. Come on. They're waiting for us. But sometimes we're waiting and we're wondering. And look what it says here in this scripture. And I love this because he's asking a question. The verses before, again, this is verse 28. He says, have you not heard? But he says, have you not known? 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? This is the second time he said this in between the scriptures. The everlasting God. Get that? Everlasting, that's forever. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Amen. He's the creator. Neither faints nor is weary. He's not up there stressing. Oh, them people in Colorado, they're probably cold. No. Listen. Neither faints or is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. He's come this morning to give you some power, come on somebody. And to those who have no might, I mean strength, he wants to increase strength. He's going to give you strength if you receive it. I ain't talking about no energy drink either, amen. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. And then he starts, even the youth shall faint and be weary. That means there's a tiredness, wearing down. You know, the devil's job, and I'm not here to talk about the devil, is to wear out the saints. He said it's talking about the youth. It's talking about us old folks. I mean, I stopped saying old folks, more mature folks. Amen. But we are the old. The young men shall utterly fall. We're seeing that. That's what struck me about my nephews. But those, here it is. He turns it, man. He turns it here. But those who wait upon the Lord, we sing this song, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up, what? With wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the strength. Anton, where's my song leader? I claim them as my name. Anton? Antonio? No. Dude, there's an anointing on that guy. You know what? If we get you a scarf and you can go from church to church, you can lead any song service, bro. There's an anointing on this worship service. And I'm not going to put you like on a website and make money on you and anything, but I was watching the passion of you leading in your worship service. There's nothing like that you've set up the stage for what God is wanting. Thank you for being a worship leader. I told you, Pastor, where'd you find this guy? And I might still hit you, give you, as long as you give me a cut, amen, I'll have you doing worship services. But there's something about worshiping God. Listen to me, church, that when we worship God, yes, we come and pray. Yes, you took the first step, but now you're in the right place. And the minute we worship God, we got his attention. The minute we say God, we begin to glorify. That's why that's important. Yes, we have to pray. But when we're worshiping God, he's like looking down in springs, goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to church. And he comes to church, And when, guess what? In his house, when God shows up, it changes everything. Oh, you might have come in, I'm glad you're happy, and I'm glad some of you, you look like, okay, I'm here this morning. But listen, it's more than just being here. There's strength. There's things, there's this a picture, if you put it up, of this man, Chuck Yeager, back in 1947, he was a pilot that began to trail, blaze a trail. He broke the sound barrier. And this is just setting up the war that we're about to get into. And he's an amazing story that he was challenged to go up in that plane, and he broke the sound barrier. And it was amazing that the speed that he gained began to set up what the future was. And it wasn't just because of him, because that man stepped out and he did what he knew to do. And we know him now. And ya está viejito, you know, I kind of look like him sometimes if I wear a hat. But anyway, this is all these years. He's known for that, but it just didn't stop there. I remember Richard Ruby, who's my pastor's brother, mentioning one time the airplane that set a record flying from the east coast of United States, I guess New York or Jersey or whatever. And they're traveling across the ocean. And because of a tailwind, it broke they were averaging 800 miles an hour. It was unbelievable that they were able to go that fast. It shortened the flight by an hour or so. And it was because he had the wind, the tailwind pushing him along. And when he was telling us that story, that when you have the wind at your back, it just goes faster. Not that you have to get through it, but it feels good when someone's got your back. Can I tell you that God's got your back? And we pray, and I always pray about the winds of Pentecost. Let them blow again. Let God begin to move us again, to give us the strength. And that's what the scripture tells us. Did you not know, or haven't you heard, that this everlasting God, and I'll tell you this morning, that he not only wants to help you, he's going to help you. Because we always talking, I don't know when God's going to help me. You're still breathing. Amen. Some of you ought to be locked up, locked down. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I was like your pastor. You know, we look back and we're saying, God, you are such an amazing God. Thank you for sparing my life. But I didn't know that I was going to be a big mouth for Jesus. When I was in school, I was all shy, like, yeah, right. Out of my family, 15, I was the one in the middle, the worst of my brothers. He made me the preacher. My father, why I like to mention that, I remember my dad before he went into eternity, thank God I got to pray with my pops. But I would go visit him in Colorado. That's kind of why I redirected. I pastored my first church in Utah. Them Normans, Mormons. I know they say LDS, but they're on LSD. Oh, yeah, they want two wives. Can't even handle one wife. They want two, three wives. They're crazy over there. So I got saved there. And so I always would see my pops, and I decided, and we made a change in following my pastor. And one of the last times I seen my dad, my pops, I just go visit him, and he'd sit there. He had open heart surgery, and some things were going the wrong way. And he says, come on, ven pa acá, hijo, come on. Give me that holy jaba jiba jaba, whatever you do. Every time you pray for me, I feel better. And I said, I lay hands on my dad. And he don't know, he thought I was speaking Chinese, Japanese, Korean, whatever I was preaching Jesus-ese, amen. I mean, laying hands on him and he would feel better. And it was the Spirit of God that would breathe on my father and gave him extended years. And I remember the last words my father said to me. It was, you know, maybe 2 days later we lost him. He said, son, I'm going to tell you something, that God has extended me. He has allowed me to keep living in this life. And it's almost like there was a wind at his back. And what happens is we have the winds that blow. And all of you are familiar with that here in Colorado Springs. That mountain called Monument, amen, that separates. But the wind, you know, you get up to Wyoming, you have to be careful when you cross Wyoming, because the winds blow, and sometimes it's a crosswind. A lot of times it's a headwind. What happens when the wind blows and you're against the wind, it holds you back, it wears you, you get weary and tired. And I know that people can get, we get tired sometimes, the years go by, we don't see what we want to see, and immediately we face opposition. It was Bob Seger. I was talking to my brother. He's a little mature like me, and back in the 70s, a long time ago, man, I'm tired just thinking about that, 50 years in. And he used to sing this song again, Running Against the Wind. And if you're familiar with the song, you probably used to sing along. But you know that song, when you look at it, he's talking about a relationship. You know, and I always did that in the 70s, they're crazy. But he's talking about a relationship that he had the opportunity, but he chose not. And so he left, and the years went by. And then he's trying to search, trying to find, couldn't get back to that. Listen, what happens yesterday, you can't go back. Stop playing that. Some of you are at the age, remember you're there, some of you are there. If I could only go back to high school, you can't go back. You can try to moonwalk, don't trip. You can try to think about it, but I'm going to tell you what happens is we get lost in the sauce, if I can say it. We get back, oh, I remember when I had hair. And I remember driving and, listening to the lyrics were stupid, amen, but, you know, but we were at it. But he was singing this song, and he found himself searching and searching, and he couldn't get back. So he called about running against the wind. And in one of the verses, he goes, I've been running to live, and I'm living to run. And it's just a little simple couple of verses, but he keeps singing that I've been running. You know that mankind has been running from God since the garden? Come on, we know about Adam, right? Adam be hiding. It was the woman you gave me. No, Adam was there when it all went down. Come on, she over there at Walmart or Big Lots or wherever. He's like, probably all worried about the money she's going to spend. But he witnessed it all. And when God came to hold him accountable, he said, Adam. And he knew where he was. He says, where are you? And he didn't say, well, I'm out there on the third avenue, this and that. He was hiding. And then he began to say why he was running. And mankind has been running from God instead of running to God. And I feel that this morning, that in this second point about having the wind at your back, can begin to change the momentum in your life because you've been running against, whether it's finances, relationships, just situations in life, and sometimes it's in your face. And we're tired. And we're weary, and we're wondering, God, and then you fall in that avenue, why, God, how come, why did you, and why did this? No, why did you, and why did we? Because a lot of what we do in life, it's self-afflicted, the decisions we make. I love this story. I'm really not using it, but it's about King Uzziah in the Old Testament. It's a tremendous story. You read that in 2 Chronicles, and it talks about this young king. He's very young, and there's something about what God is doing again in this generation, our young people. Y'all young still. That he's using this King Uzziah at a very young age, and he gave him knowledge, and he became the leader. And as long as God was blessing him, he was moving forward. But there came a time where he said, well, I can do it on my own. And I believe that's what happens with us. We get to a boundary when we say, well, I can do this. I can tell you that how many times I said, God, I can't do it. You ever said that? Oh, only one of you. Have you ever said, I can't do this? I've been there. You've been there. I can't do this, God. You know what God tells me all the time? I know he can't, but I can't. God can't. And you've been weary, and you feel faint, and you're struggling. You can go down the laundry list. We can go, but God already knows what it is. Do you know that God knows everything? I said, he knows everything. He made you. He created you. He knows if you still have hair on your head, amen. He knows that, you know, Pastor, I know, and I'm going to pick on Pastor a little bit. He might have had a few hairs on his chest, maybe not, amen, but he knew how many was there. He made him. He fashioned you just the way you are. You're amazing. That's why his daughter this morning said, I want you to tell her She needs to realize that I am not only keeping her in my hands and guiding her. Sometimes you need to be encouraged, and I'm telling you, I'm here to encourage you. And this is why the preaching of the gospel becomes so valuable, because God needs to encourage us. In this chronicle story, if you read and you begin to understand what happened, when he made the choices, and it wasn't just him, many in the Old Testament. King Saul was another. These guys, and I mentioned Jacob earlier, that all of a sudden they don't need God at all. I heard a guy one time, it's kind of interesting that we were helping him, his wife, we were counseling, I was assisting my pastor. She says, "This is it." Because she's old school too. She's a gangster wife. About ready to take this guy out. And we could have said, "We'll help you." And we didn't say that. We said, "Look, I remember my pastor's words still today. You keep praying and let God handle it." And so years go by. I'm still there, and I remember he stood up and testified. And, you know, he apologized to the church, you know, for, you know, whatever, you know, he was going through. And the first thing he said is, "You know, I was on vacation from the Lord." Then after his wife punched him in the ribs, amen. Well, you know, he got right with God, got back on the track, God got a hold of him, and he's a missionary today in Spain. Because God has a place for you. Don't ever think that there's not a place for you. In James 4, and this is kind of where I'm going at, and in this verse of Scripture, chapter 4 and 6. And again, when you read chapter 4, it's amazing what God is saying. And I know this as a studier of the Word of God. When we preach, we want to read what's coming or what's happening and where we're at and where we go from there. But this is the Scripture that we're speaking about, humility. And in six. It says right away, but he gives, listen to this, but he gives grace. He gives actually more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, there's a lot of things that we see and we know, whether you've been saved for a while or you've been saved for a moment. The one thing that's going to take more people, and I'm trying to be nice. Sometimes you say, "Well, the one thing that will keep people from heaven." No, the one thing that will send people to hell is pride. You know that, guys. We know that. And I ain't letting the girls off the hook. Because pride, what? Comes before a fall. But pride will stop you from repenting or being humble. So when he says that's this grace, he says, therefore, and verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And then he says, cleanse your hands and sinners and purify your hearts. And then he says something amazing, double-minded, because we can't make up our mind. He says, let your mourning and your weeping that can turn around. But when I begin to bring this to a close this morning, and let me just tell you, I'm preaching tonight. Thank you for the invitation. Kind of have a, it's not a part B, but what God is doing this morning will set you up for what he's going to do for you, not just today, but for what he wants in your life. But how do you see yourself humble? We can see everybody else. What is humbleness or being meek or humble to you? When you open the door? When you're kind? We should be kind. And I'm not saying going around and open all the doors, but remember when you used to open the door for her? Oh, come on. Oh, I love you. You open the door. You started showering, amen, and my baby, and now you throw her the keys. Go start the car, vieja. You know, I'm going to wait and talk with the guys. What happened? Oh, you laugh because we laugh. sometimes we get so full of ourselves, so full of this, or we are convinced. There's something about humility, a humbleness. Sometimes it can be from a brokenness. I could dare say that most of us are here because we were broken at one time, and aren't you glad that God was there to pick you up? And we do everything that we can to just be accepted. That's why social media, and I'm not going to get you all mad at you because you're on this or that, but a lot of times what people do is they just want to be accepted. So they do what they do, right? Now you're looking at me all crazy. Got that phone out. You don't even have a lift like that. Oh, wrong background. And give me some trees. And then you're like trying to look all skinny and that. That ain't you. And I'll declare to you, listen, if the barn needs paint, paint the barn. And I'm not saying that y'all didn't have your makeup on, but sir, stop putting on makeup. Stop plucking your eyebrows and grow a beard. Amen. But we're trying to do everything. Tuck in, tuck out. Taking pictures. You know, when I stand before in the mirror, what you see is what you are, not what you get. That's why I stay a real far away from the mirror. But when you're up close, you're doing everything. You know, you got them little. So you got oil. You know, you're trying all this. Oil of Olay. No, oil of delay, because that stuff wears off. And then all of a sudden, those little chicken feet, they're crow feet, and we don't like it. And so, look, if you want a facelift, I got some good clear tape. Save yourself some money, or the money you're going to spend, spend it. Me and Pastor will split it. All you need is the Holy Ghost and God to give you encouragement, and it changes everything, even your outlook. That's why people look at you and goes, man, how come you're so happy? What an open door to tell them about Jesus. When I first got drugged into church, and basically I did, my wife got saved. You know, me and her, my poor wife, please pray for Gina. We're going to be married 50 years next year. That's a long time for my poor wife. But I believe that the reason why God breathed on us and extended us is because we found him, and he blessed us, and he's keeping us. But here you are, weary, struggling, and James simply laid it down, because what needs to happen when you're in that place, instead of running against the wind, get tailwind, the Holy Ghost. Living to run. Remember that? I'm working for a living, and I'm living to work. Well, you need a job. Why don't you try living to live for God? Amen. Kind of makes sense after a while. And then maybe you're still getting tripped up. And I know that it's never a perfect timing, but the reason why we become repeat offenders. You know what? Some of you locked up before. You know what a repeat offender is? They got you locked down, they let you loose, and then you go right back to the business you should have no business, and you're right back where you are. But it doesn't have to be just incarcerated. It's the same thing in life. Sometimes we have to repeat some things to God, not to teach us the lessons that we know. And so Philippians, my last scripture this morning, begins to kind of tell us something about the powerfulness of what God begins to reveal. And it's in that fourth chapter again, Philippians, and Paul writing here. And again, just a word of encouragement. He says something very powerful in verse 6. Again, the verses before, he's talking about prayer and joyfulness and rejoicing in the Lord. We love that. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Sometimes we ain't always. Let gentleness be known to all men. That's verse 5. The Lord is at what? At hand. And look what it says. Because this is where we're stuck. Be anxious for nothing. Because we're full of anxiety, man. But in everything by prayer, supplications, with thanksgiving or gratefulness, let your requests be known to who? To God. And here it is, the peace of God, which surpasses it everything, any kind of understanding. And he says, well, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And that's where we're stuck. And if you humble yourself, you submit to God, and God will shift the wind. Instead of always facing it and feeling faint or weary, but the Bible says that things change. They that wait upon the Lord. I don't know about you, but the minute that song service started, if I didn't have a bad hip, bro, I would have gone outside and done a little bit of, you know, I know weed. You know, I had a guy in my church, in my first church. Listen, God brought us gangbangers. What was crazy, this is in Salt Lake City, Utah. They don't got gangs in Utah. Don't look at me like they don't. They're not the Mormon gangsters, you know. These kids were, they were like a Job Corps coming from Chicago. They were coming from L.A., from Denver, and they would put them in Job Corps, and then they would turn them loose, and they went into the streets, and so that's why they brought what they were. And so I used to have these kids come into church. I would have 14-year-olds coming to me and saying, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm already tired of being in the gangs. 14 years old. And whether it was through family, and some of you understand this, one guy, his name was Ghost, is really Benny. Benny would come to church, and I said, hey, Benny, it's Ghost, Pastor. Why do they call you Ghost? You know, he's a white kid. He's actually the only Mormon in the gang. And go, wow, my mom and my dad, he was a gang leader, but they killed him. And so they gave it to my mom, though no women can rule. And so he's now the gang leader of the most notorious West Side gang, Los Vatos Locos or whatever they're called. But he was Ghost. You know, I used to watch him when they walk in, you know, kind of walking out sideways. That's how I walk when I throw out my back. They thought I was OG, you know, but no, my back was hurting. And orale, Pastor, they would talk like that. It's funny because when you preach to people like that, I started saying orale. I don't say orale, homie. My wife says, why do you speak like that? I don't know. And these kids started coming and getting saved at the closure because I'm a storyteller. I remember Benny got full of the Holy Ghost, and he's sitting in the front row, and he's wondering why no one's excited. So he's like, forget this. And he started breakdancing right in front. And the ushers are running to tackle this guy. And he's thrown down. And I'm leading songs there. And I go, uh-oh. And I stopped him. I said, stop. Leave him alone. Everybody stop. And I go, you know, at least he's trying. Some of you are just sitting there. For the love of God. You know, of the love of God. He was singing these words. Listen, he had an amazing worship service. And so I encouraged him, but I told Benny, you can't break dance in the song service. Well, no one's moving, Pastor. How come they're not excited? I go, well, go outside. I don't know, but you can't do that. You're taking the attention. God gets all the glory and the attention. He got it. Then the next time, he started the wave in my church. Lift your hands, and he got everybody in church doing this, man. I let it go for a few services, but he was changed. The parents started coming to church wondering what on earth has happened to these kids that they're no longer running. And believe you me, they had to go through a lot of hell to get jumped out of whatever it was. But they started coming to church just to come and see, and they were sticking it out. And we're having a youth movement. We know in the scripture we're looking for that. I can look across this congregation. I know this church enough. We're looking for it. We think they're going to come marching in. Come on, some of you old school. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Maybe crawling in. Maybe because they're broken. What an amazing time to be at a parade. You know, we jumped in the parade. Pastor, we did the same thing in Utah. On the day that Utah celebrated their holiday. And Glenn Cluck, who was our hero, still is, he had a bunch of black folks in his church. He got a guy named Ross, and he was Mr. Utah. He was like a big old dude. So he was Jesus carrying a cross in Utah. That ain't going to happen in Utah. It's got to be a white dude or something. Amen. So Ross is carrying the cross. And then the other guy, a big guy was rapping. And they lasted about a block before they threw him out. And they were just in the parade telling people about Jesus, uninvited. That took me right back, Pastor. And I'm not saying go and do that, but you do what you're going to do. But getting the literature, letting people see you're running into people that know you or maybe know about you, instead of saying, ooh, there's my boss, and hide away. And I'm not saying get in their face, but show them the love of God. And we've seen an amazing turnout, and people started calling me. They're from Ogden, which was north. These kids were really saved. His guys were in the military. There's a military base there. it just transitioned that church. You see it now. Rick Martinez is pastoring that church. Got a bunch of churches out. And I would get these calls and goes, who do you guys think you are? You part of the Potter's House, the Door Church? Goes, yeah. And he goes, what gives you the right? And I thought it was the bishop from the LDS or LSD church. And you know what? It was other churches, Christian churches, devout churches that want to fall asleep in church. Don't dance. I mean, you're so clean and you know, walking all righteous that you creak, amen, into your bones or whatever, and not Pentecostal, not excited for God. When was the last time? You know, if you walk in the room and you heard someone say, praise God, does that get your attention? Because the devil's a big mouth. He's going around roaring around. And you know what's going to happen is just because people are coming, and whether it's parades or this church, wherever it's going to go, they're going to come to find the place where the answer is. Because Jesus is about to breathe and change the course to lead you on. Bow your hearts for me this morning. That was a wonderful worship song. If you want to sing that or however you want to do it, but you've been running against the wind. There's so much pride and anxiety. And one of the reasons why we find so many of these illustration stories, why people fall away or why people decide, is because they're not content. Whatever you're doing in life, you find yourself coming up short. Whether it's finances, whether it's relationships. Maybe you're discouraged and search that. Why are you discouraged? Is it the one thing that it's just like you're not satisfied with? That's what sin looks like. It tries to catch people that are unsatisfied and not happy. Low relationships, they leave families. I declare in Colorado and all across the nations in the world that we have a world full of people that are not content. They're not satisfied. And they're trying to find the answer when we have the answer right here. And this beginning of the movement of the youth, look around you, it's here. And yes, they'll come. And thank God that they'll come through you and your family. And one of the things I encourage you to do, pray for your family. This young daughter that came of God's, that's not just her, but there's a generation that has been swept just to be accepted and acknowledged. I experienced that in 1994 when we had to move because we couldn't contain what God was doing and breathing in our congregation, in that church still today. What a privilege that I had to be a part of that. And now we're here in Colorado and we're seeing the same thing, whether it's in Las Vegas or your mother church or Fort Collins. And God breathed in us again. Have you not heard? Have you not heard? Do you not know that the everlasting God, He's not changed His mind about you? When was the last time that you settled in your heart, whether in the altar call or in your seat, that you finally surrender? You finally surrender. But you're handcuffed. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. That God wants to set you free, but you are bound. And these things in life, and it's not that you don't want to let go, but they have you. And God wants to give you not a head start, but come to make you to realize that He will set you free. There is an anointing. It's like the waters, a living river that flows through this place to bring a renewing of life. Some of you got to recommit to your prayer life. Some of you got to recommit to God and understand how sacred that is, a covenant where our fellowship and churches that will flow with God instead of flowing against God. Can't sleep. Sometimes it gets you sick, anxiety. But God's here. He took the first step this morning. Why don't you take the next? And if you're not a Christian this morning, you're in the right place. Maybe you heard or you understood. I'm not here to tell you to follow this doctrine and creed. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I'm here to tell you about the Spirit of God. He says, come there just like you are. He'll fix you. Can I tell you this morning, when God fixes you, He'll start fixing everything else. But humility has everything to do with it. Not that He wants to shame you. Sometimes people feel that coming to the altar is a walk of shame. It's not. right where you are. I believe even in the worship service, God was already helping you. I've seen that happen in a worship service. People telling me that God touched me in the worship service. And can I declare to you, daughters of God, you don't have to be in that place. And I know it's hard. And you sometimes don't understand. But God understands. And He knows. And I say to you, this church, God knows. Listen, I'm going to open the altars. God knows. And God helps. You know why He helps you? Because He cares. He cares. But if you're not right with God, you're not right with God. You already know that. And I'm here to tug on you, pull on you. But God, that's what your feelings, the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of surrender. Surrendering to God. Just lift your hand where you're at. Would you let me pray for you? Just lift it up high. No one looking around. I'm trying to put you on the spot. But you're not right with God. You've never prayed a prayer, but you will this morning. And we'll lead you to that. We have altar workers here. We have a church here that cares for you. They follow up on you. They love you. You won't find, it's very unique outside of family. And sometimes you ain't got family. But this church family wants to get you to heaven. Lift your hand quickly. Just lift it up and wave it at me. Amen. Okay, anybody else? You can put it down. Anybody else? Just hold it up for just a moment. Yes, yes. Daughter, mom, wife, sons, He created you. He sees where you're at. And God's about to shift the wind. And instead of running against it, He's going to move you through, man, and you're going to know that God's got your back. But when it's against you, it's not God. God is for you. But a lot of times we deflect it. Don't do that. I'm not here to put you on the spot. I'm here to tell you there's an anointing here. And just the sake of time, if you need prayer after we open the altars, we're going to move right along. And you come and pray, and then we're going to pray for folks. Especially if you're hurting, I'll take a minute. As long as it is after the service, and you can meet me up here, I'll pray for you, me and Pastor, whoever. But right now, God is pulling on your heart and your mind. This world has a mental issue. They've lost their mind. Instead of, you know, dealing with you have an attitude, but it's gratitude. It's a wonderful thing when God touches you, man. It's nothing like it. And God's going to help us. Our brother's going to lead us in the worship. Let's all stand. Come and find a place to pray. We're going to turn the service back over to the pastor, but God's still doing work. Let's worship the living God. Just find that place, whether in your seat, wherever you are. If you brought someone, encourage. If it's your wife or your child, come with them. Oh, God, You are so good always. Let's sing it out with all our hearts.
To the Holy
Give thanks. Oh, Father God, the Holy Ghost touch.
Because
right
He's given Jesus Christ.
You are Jesus.
Listen. Son.
And now.
And now.
Give us, Lord, strength.
Let the weak say, I am strong.
I need strength, God. Shut up. Oh, it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense, doesn't it?
Because of what? Because
you can't do it on your own. Let Him in. Don't shut Him out.
For us.
Oh, yes.
And now,
right here, right now.
Let the weak say, I am strong.
Give me strength, my God.
Let the poor say, I am rich.
Rich. In You, Father,
because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks.
One more time, give thanks.
Give thanks.
Sing it with me this morning. Lift your hands. Let it be a prayer. Surrender.
His Son.
Right now, right now.
And now,
right now,
let the weak say I am strong.
Oh, that we would run, God.
Let the poor say,
let us be like the eagle, Lord, looking down, looking to you, Father.
Because of what the Lord has done
in me. Let's worship him right here. Give him a good hand clap. Father God, shala rabba bande. Tell him thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, living God of our lives. Shibo robo bobosi.
You know, I think it was mainly because not just my wife, my daughters. I have three daughters, and my youngest daughter, she has been trying to have a child now for a while. And she had a miscarriage, and she shares this, but about a year ago. And, you know, when you have stuff like that in life, it affects everybody. She's been praying. God now gave her two. She's pregnant with identical twin girls. The girls are coming. Listen, guys, the girls are in charge. I got 9 grandsons and 3 granddaughters. They run the show. Amen. But what a blessing to know that God will always come through. God will always come through. He's going to meet some needs, amazing needs for your life. Okay? Because he already knows. Can I tell you that God knows? And so two things I'll leave you, because my sermon tonight is Uncuffed, or it's actually called Breaking the Chains of What's Going On in Your Life. And that's up to you, but you got to bring someone tonight, especially if you know they're bound in addiction or whatever it is. Maybe they're bound in themselves. They don't know who they are. Hey, I was in Trinidad, not just because Trinidad. I was walking in, and this woman came walking out, and it said men's, and I go, oh, what the heck? And he ain't wanting no girl. And I told the guy, you have security here? Because that ain't right. And I went, what do you want? You know, give me my change and get the heck out of here. People are confused in their mind, especially young people. Have your kids, you bring them. And I believe God will uncuff. You ever been handcuffed here? How many? Lift your hand. How many have been? Okay, put them down, put them down. I don't want anybody to know. Because the devil has you handcuffed, chained up. I'm going to talk about 3 guys in that sermon that were like that. And when Jesus showed up, changed everything. He already showed up. He was ready for you this morning. He was ready for you this morning. The other day I woke up in the morning and I said, I was looking, I go, Dad, what are you doing here? I look just like my dad, man. But he brings you to a place, and just let him do that. I'm in this campaign. God will always give you wisdom, okay? It's not that you be a smart aleck and you know numbers and that. He gives you wisdom because that's the first thing he says, so you know. Because once you know what's going on, the shackles, this in your life, the struggling, when you know that, he gives you dominion. You understand what the devil or whatever. Don't call your husband a devil. And I know she could be a she-devil. No, I'm just stop, Trujillo. But he gives you wisdom to understand when you take dominion. That means you reach in there and put the devil in his place and he sets free. But the reason why he gives you dominion in your life after you've been free, listen to me, so he can give you favor. Some of you need God's favor. Some of you need God's favor. I mean, don't be surprised if the boss says, I surrender to you, you be the boss. I don't know if he'll do that. But you need favor because of what's going on in our economy and life. And God just wants to drop that on you. When he gives you favor, remember, wisdom so you know, dominion so you can take charge and begin to deal with those things. But that favor will blow you away. And you know it's God because you'll know that he's the only one. He's not the only one, but that's God. And tell people about that. And why he gives you favor is because he releases blessing. I don't know about you, but I'm pour it on down, Lord. I need some. God bless me first, and then I'll know it's favor. And then you know, I'll take dominion, and then I'll understand. No. He gives you wisdom, right? So you know. Because you ever said that? oh, I was mocking this. Not to be careful, I'm a mocker, but just let go and let God. First of all, if you're a man, don't say it like that. We want to let go. Why don't you just let God? Let God so you can let go of some things. And you're about ready to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I found myself in the right place. Thank you. Thank you for letting me preach. And I'm so excited. I'm going overseas doing some things. I'm still in Colorado, but I'm here in this area. And I love this church. Colorado Springs has always been close to my heart because I'm from here. When you go to that Christmas party, you go to Aaron Romero, tell him that I said that he needs to put on Santa Claus suits. Amen. That's a good friend of mine. He is our door director. But there's something going on there. He got the north side covered. You got the south side? Because God's got your side. Amen. Let's give God a good clap offering as your pastor comes. Let's thank him. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Amen. Glory to God. What a great time we had this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesse, why don't you close us in prayer?